We are looking at this idea that after all this time, over the last few years, it's time for a reset. A chance to kind of just get back and reestablish some things or create some new things. But we were all told, no, back off, back away, step in, keep your distance. And we want to kind of think about where that impacted us. And then how we can do a reset. And we're using as a guide a few verses from Mark's gospel. Jesus is asked, which of all the commandments, and there are over 600 of them, which of all those is the greatest? We always love to do that, don't we? We like to rank things and top five this, top 10 that. Jesus, what's the most important one? And he said, well, I'll give you one. It goes all the way back to Deuteronomy. It says this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. We've looked at heart and we've looked at mind. On the fourth, we're going to look at soul a little bit differently, the way we're going to approach things. I want us to look at strength. What does he mean by strength? What is your strength? How can you love God with your strength? Here's how I see it. It's what you do. It's using how God has made you for his glory, for his kingdom. Over the last couple of years, a lot of our serving habits, you know, they got upended. We pushed pause on certain things that we had to do. And we don't necessarily want to return to the old normal. There are probably some good new things we need to be doing. So when we talk about reset, it's not just going back to what we maybe did a few years ago, but it's really getting back to what God has called us to be and what he's called us to do. Now, I want you to just consider just for a moment, because it's so easy in all the midst of this to overestimate or underestimate what we're doing. In my mind, you know, I think, well, that was just last week when it was a couple of years ago. And so it's easy to tell ourselves, you know, oh, I'm doing stuff. Well, no, that was 2-3 years ago. A number of years ago when I was a teen, my mom worked at a dental office, and one of the ladies that she worked with, sometimes they would carpool, and this lady had a Corvette. And one time she dropped off my mom, and I said, hey, when are you going to let me drive your Corvette? Well, right now. Okay. I failed to mention that I didn't have a driver's license, but that didn't seem to stop her. So we're going down the road, and where I grew up, desert, lots of straight roads. And so we're going down this one particular road. I'm just going to kind of do this loop, and we're just kind of going along. And something felt off to me. Because it felt like we were going pretty fast, but when I was looking at the gauges, I was only going maybe 30, 40 miles an hour. And then suddenly I realized I was looking at the tachometer, the RPMs, and not the speedometer. And we were doing 80 in second gear. You know, we can do that. Sometimes we can just kind of overestimate, underestimate where things are going. So we fool ourselves into thinking we are doing more or we're doing less than we actually are. Or that what we do is somehow less or more important than what it really is. Listen to the Apostle Paul for a moment. He says, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us had one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I want you to, there's a lot there, but let's unpack a couple of things. Paul is saying we are obligated to one another. We are obligated in serving. We are obligated to one another to serve. We're not free to withhold our strength and not serve. You wouldn't like it very much if one day you woke up and you couldn't move your foot. And you found out your foot had just decided to take the year off. Going on an extended trip. Or your hand or your ear or something else, some other part of your body just says, nope, not going to work for a while. It would really throw you off, wouldn't it? But yet this is what we do in the body of Christ. We withhold. We say, nope, not interested. Not going to do anything. Then he goes on to say that we are to use our unique giftedness for the kingdom. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, that is preaching, it's not about foretelling, but forthtelling, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraged, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So we're called to do this. But it may be that your ministry, that place where you serve, needs a reset. How can you tell if that's the case? Well, first, let's define what we mean by ministry. It is, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. It's not just activity for activity's sake, but it's for the kingdom. And sometimes it might happen at the facility. Sometimes it might happen out in other places. But we're doing it for the sake of building up the kingdom of God. I want you to do a quick exercise with me, real quick. You ready? I want you to fill in a blank. I want you to think about this. My ministry is, now fill it in. Not your job. What's your ministry? If you can't answer that, if you don't know, then that's probably the first sign that it's time for a reset. That you don't have one. Either you've never had one, or you had one at one time and you stopped for some reason. Might have been a good reason at the time, but you never picked it back up or picked anything else back up. But listen to the writer of Hebrews. He says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Now he's taking them to task for a little bit about that they weren't investing themselves in understanding the word of God and the gospel and all that it meant. Not even the basics. And I think, though he's talking about that in that context, the principle still applies. There are a number of you, you've been around for a while. This isn't brand new to you. What's your role? What's your place? What's your ministry? Here's another sign. You've got one, but you don't like it. You're doing something, but you're just doing it out of duty. You're doing it out of obligation. One time you signed up for something and they never let you out. You can't get off the rotation. And you're begging, you're pleading, but you know, there's a part of you, you're one of those really kind people. You don't want to raise a fuss, so I'll just grin and bear it. But you're going to like it. Here's another one. You don't see how your ministry makes any difference. You're doing stuff, you're going through the motions, but you don't see how it connects to the bigger picture. You don't see the fruit from it. You don't understand its place within the greater kingdom movement. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, they were getting ready to take up an offering. He said, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And you're looking at this, oh, I wish I had that. I'm serving away and nobody is saying thanks to God on my behalf. And you want it to mean something. Most of us, we want to do something that means something. So how? As we've gone through the series, we keep looking at the how. How do we reset? What's that look like? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each of one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So he's saying there's a unique thing that you have for the greater good of the kingdom, of the body of Christ. So let me give you one thing. I learned this acronym a number of years ago, and I think it's really helpful, and that is what you want to observe your shape, S-H-A-P-E, your shape. Now, maybe you've heard this before, but let me just walk you through what each of those letters mean. Because you might share some of the different components with other people, but they really, as you look at each one and its uniqueness, it creates a unique opportunity for you. So first one is spiritual gifts. That is that, as Paul mentions here, God says, look, for my church, I'm handing out, I'm distributing these gifts. And you can look in Romans 12, and you can look in this passage, just look at the larger context of 1 Corinthians 12 there, and you can see all sorts of things. You can go online, just Google in spiritual gifts test, and you can find those. And just see what gift you may have as a follower of Jesus. The H is for your heart or your passions. What it is that you get excited about, what you're really interested in, what you're concerned about. Now you can begin to see how you might have, you know, one person has this spiritual gift and one person has this same spiritual gift, but they might have a different heart for different ways that they would use that gift. A is for your abilities. Now those abilities might be, we sometimes call an age, just something you're pretty good at. Some skill you've picked up along the way, you went through some kind of schooling, or you watched a YouTube video, whatever it took, you have this ability to do something. You know, some people are very good at carpentry. Some other people are good with numbers. Some people, you know, I came in early this morning, or earlier before the service start, and I noticed they didn't have a drummer. And so out of the goodness and kindness of my heart, I said, do you guys need me to be your drummer this morning? They said no. And do you know why? Because Troy has stood here and watched me from time to time trying to keep a beat. And I can't. So they said no. No one has ever said, Byron, we want you to come up and sing for us. No one. I once had an experience back years ago at Easter Cantata. Byron, we want you to be a part of this. This is the one time. Be a part of this. And after a bit, you know, they had the whole stage was aligned with microphones up at this height. I said, Byron, why don't you sit here? The microphone's up here. That's not my ability. As much as I might want it to be, it's not. So what abilities do you have? P is for your personality. We all have a different personality. You know, you've heard introverts versus extroverts, and kind of where you draw that energy. Let me give you a quick, simple way to think about personality. There's all sorts of personality tests. Maybe you've had to do them for work or marriage or whatever, and then you try to kind of know yourself, how you operate. But let me give you four quick animals that very generally describe. So first off, there's the lion. And the lion is the take charge person. They see a group of people, and they say, okay, we're gonna get these people organized and put them to task, and we're gonna start delegating and making things happen. Kind of on the flip side of that is the beaver. The beaver loves details. They read the manuals with the things they buy twice. I mean, they get in there, they love the minutia. They love it. Here's another word for beaver, engineer. That's just how their mind thinks and operates. So you can see how the lion and the beaver might kind of sometimes go, well, let's just make this happen. I need things to happen here. And the beaver's going, but how are we going to make it happen? What are we going to do? Have you looked at the numbers yet? Have you looked at that? And they're asking all these questions. So you got those two. Here's another one. Think about the otter. Have you ever watched an otter and said, that's so depressing? I can't watch anymore. No, you watch an otter and they're just playing. And you're like, look at that. It's so cute. In fact, if you're ever just having a down day, Google videos of otters and just it'll cheer you up. Because they're these playful little creatures and they love to run and jump around and everything. Now, otters see people, a group of people, and go, party! The counterpoint of the different of the otter is the golden retriever. Have you ever seen a mean golden retriever? No, they're just so sweet. They just they're there for you. And that's the personality of a golden retriever. They're there for you. Now, an otter will have lots of friends, but those friendships don't go very deep. The golden retriever will have a few friends, but they're deep in their friendships. So you think about, just think about it. Ask your spouse, which am I? Am I a lion? Am I a beaver? Am I an otter? Or am I a golden retriever? And how you do that. And begin to see how that might work with how and where you serve. So if you're an otter and we say, hey, Mr. Otter, we've got a great ministry role for you. You'll be in this room by yourself for 2 hours. Working in some minutiae of detail. What's that otter going to do? Disappear. If you ask the golden retriever, we want you to go around and greet a lot of people and make lots of new friends. What are they going to do? What if you say, look, there are a few people that just need some attention from you. Here's some things that help you go deep and help you care and be merciful and compassionate. So understand, we're all different. And one of the things that we often do is we try to say, serving in the church looks just like one thing, and it doesn't. It takes it all. And the final thing is experiences. We all have some experiences that we've gone through. Some of them are sad and very tragic and traumatic. Some of them are happy and very positive things. And you take those experiences and you've got something to bring and you can help other people who are going through those same experiences. But now you can begin to see your spiritual gift, your passions and your abilities and your personalities and your experiences will help you think about, well, what fits? Now, you can take all these tests, all right, and put them together, and this is where I am. But then you go, now what do I do with this? Well, let me. There's another way to do that. And that is just take a test drive. It's okay to just try something out. Now, you know, this has got to work because I never get to take a desk drive drumming or singing or anything like that. I'm not bringing that to the table. But if there's a thing out there, you might try this and say, I'm going to sign up. I'm going to give it a month. I'm going to give it one time, whatever the event time might be. I'll see. And then what you do is you kind of analyze and say, okay, based on what the role required, and based on my shape, maybe that was a really good fit or not. But now that I know a little bit, you know, what might be my good fit? What would work well for me? And then you can always ask a friend. You see somebody serving and they're doing something. Can I shadow you? Can I come along with you? Can I be a part of it? Can I experience it? Or those of you who are serving somewhere, flip that around. Ask somebody, say, hey, why don't you come and do this with us? Come try this out. Whether it's a single day event or an ongoing ministry, just invite someone and say, hey, come and see if you like this or not. I don't know how many people have said to me over the years on different occasions about different things, I never would have thought I would have liked that thing, but somebody invited me and I went, okay, and now I love it. It's very serendipitous. It just kind of happened. You went, wow, look at that. But behind serendipity, I believe, is a God at work. And then here's one more. How to reset. Fill out the form. Now, what form? In your program. Now, in the past, we've done these before. And usually how this works, we try to think about all these different things you could do. And, you know, then the type gets very, very small. And you've got to get out a magnifying glass. And you're trying to describe it in detail. And so we're just doing it very simply. There are three different areas on there. Children's, teens, adult ministries. And just say, tell me more about the ministries you have in the children's area. For example, you know, they're looking for nursery and preschool class volunteers for Sunday and Wednesday nights. They're looking for elementary small group leaders on Sundays and Wednesdays. They need people behind the scenes. They need greeters, you know, down there specifically greeting new families. In teens ministry, they're often looking for meal prep and cleanup and small group leaders, prayer partners, one-on-one mentors. In the adult area, you know, we're looking for small group hosts, and mentioned that, greeters. At the door, we're going to get people greeting again out there. We've got foyer hosts who kind of make sure first-time folks can find their way around, looking for help with funeral meals, men's and women's events. If you can do small repairs around the facilities, we need that. And it doesn't have to be just here. As I mentioned, you know, we've got ministry partners in this area that are always looking for folks to come and do something. So you just say, tell me more about the children's or the teens or adults or all three. And then what we'll do is we'll send you a more extensive form that'll electronically, and that'll give you more information. And you can say, yeah, tell me more about that. Tell me how I can get that. I want to be involved there. Well, let's say you don't see something that you've been thinking about. You have an idea. What do you do with that? Well, if it involves children's ministry, talk to Becky. If it involves the teens ministry, talk to Matt. If it's something with adults, talk to me, and we'll kind of see, does it fit in with what we're trying to accomplish here? And then how can we equip and enable and empower you to do that? But all this begs the question, why? Why should we serve? Paul wrote to the Ephesians, Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. Now why? Why are they being equipped? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is very important that you catch this. Especially if you're wanting to be a follower of Jesus, serving is part of the discipleship process. Now, discipleship, what do I mean? That's just that growing, that maturing, that learning what you got to do and how to become a mature believer. And if you leave serving out of the equation, you won't fully mature as you're called to do. So it's not only for the sake of the kingdom, but for your own sake that you find a place of ministry. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Serving is a defining characteristic of the kingdom of God. It's a part of the DNA, a part of the culture of the kingdom. And so if you're going to fully experience kingdom life, you've got to find your place of service. Now, some of you, you're newer here, and you're like, okay, we'd love to get you involved and help you find that place. Some of you have been around a while and you had a place, and for whatever reason, it stopped. And I want to encourage you, find a new place. Maybe it's restarting something you used to do, maybe it's doing something totally different. But re-engage in this. Because if you don't, not only are you losing out, but the kingdom is missing what you have to bring to the table. We need you. Let me take you to find this thing. Because I want you in all of this to consider Jesus. Paul is writing to the Philippians and he says, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Don't miss this. The God of the universe, the one who spoke the atoms that make up your body, the one who spoke those galaxies that we're seeing anew through the Webb telescope, the one who made all of this happen, he took on flesh and blood and bone. And he served, even when that serving cost him his life. But he did it with joy. With joy. He saw the shame of the cross, but he still approached it with joy. And you and I, as we are called to follow Jesus, are called to step into his footprints and follow along and find that place of service. Find that place where you can use for God's glory what God has put together, knit together in you. So what is it? I invite you, if you, you know, we're not saying sign on the dotted line today. We've never asked anybody to sign anything in blood. Begin to explore what's possible. Whether you're a member, a tender, we want to help you find a place for your sake and for the sake of the kingdom. Will you pray with me? Father, right now we come. And this morning, the decision that I want us to think about, yes, if anybody is ready to say yes to Jesus, we want that to be known, but there are a lot of people who have to make a decision. Will they begin serving for the first time? Or will they begin serving again? Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts through your still small voice. Nudge us, move us, help us see, Father, that step you want us to take. We lift this moment up to you, Father. We ask that your Spirit would be at work. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.